This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Sammy P of Fox Sports will join us. We will go over a little bit of everything. It's that time of the year: NBA final, NHL final, college baseball World Series. Get his thoughts, MLB futures and awards. I know he's got some bets in those categories. He's always got, some long shot bets and thoughts. So always excited to get his perspective on that. And this Illinois state tax for FanDuel, charging 50 cents per bet. He lives in Illinois. So excited to get Sammy's perspective on that developing situation in all of these sports. And it's one of those situations now where we can go any direction here as you start to head towards the summer, NBA, NHL, and a little early to start doing football, but it won't be long. And I'll be obviously baseball well underway. Maybe we'll do a College World Series here bit on Friday. Maybe just even get Matt Grissom or someone else on to do some college baseball as we have our eight teams here in the finals. But we'll start with the NBA, and any game in a best of seven is important. This is 1-1, so game three in a best of seven when it's tied 1-1 is obviously important. This one feels extra important. This one feels like this series is headed one of two directions in game three. Either Indiana wins, and we're looking for a very tense filled, or looking at a very tense filled, tension filled 2 days, 48 hours here between game three on Wednesday and game four on Friday. Remember, this is only 1 day off in between all the other games. There's 2 days off in between. They stretch this out like crazy. The 3-4 scenario is only 1 day off, Wednesday, then Friday. But if OKC were to lose and it's 2-1 Indy and game four is in Indy and they've got a lot to answer, they've got a big game ahead of them, and we'll see what they're made of one of those situations. Now, they answered it before. They were down 2-1 in Denver, and they were down 8 in the fourth quarter, 71-63. And they answered the bell that Sunday afternoon about a month ago, went on to win the series in 7, as we know. So they've done it, and they've done it against a better opponent. But if they're down 2-1, this feels like we're in for some tension-filled moments is, I guess, the best way to put it. But if OKC were to win, this feels maybe inevitable that, they smell blood in the water and the ending is coming sooner rather than later. Indy laying 5.5. I can only look towards the Pacers. The Thunder have not been good on the road here. Haven't covered a road game. Now, I know some people say, oh, they're due. They're too good to not have one of these big-time performances eventually on the road, and they've needed to win when they need to win. I get that. There's maybe something to that. I just can't lay the 5.5. But I do think, I was thinking of these scenarios too where it's been – either case where it's been 1-1 after two, or the team loses game one and then wins the next four. The 1-1 after two, it happened just 2 years ago, and it's reminded me of this a lot. Denver, Miami, this Pacers team has reminded me of Miami a lot. Afraid to bet against them, overachieving, exceed your expectations, wild comebacks, wild upsets. This team reminds me a little bit of Miami. They're better than Miami, but they remind me a little bit of Miami. Halliburton doing a little bit of what Butler did. Really good coach. There's a lot of similarities. And if you remember that Denver series, they lost game one. Miami did on the road. They stole game two, came from down big to do that. And then it was 1-1. And then you're thinking, oh man, is Miami really going to do this again? They didn't win another game. They got blown out at home in game three and game four. We're feisty in game five. Denver rallied to win that one. And Miami, after being tied 1-1, never won another game. I could see a similar scenario here. I really could. Other scenarios where this has happened: Spurs Heat 2014. Spurs won game one, Heat won game two. This is LeBron's last series with the Heat. So 1-1 after two, and the Spurs absolutely bludged them in game three, game four, and really in game five. They just buried them the next three games. The other scenarios where it's been 1-0 by the team that never wins another game: the 2001 Lakers lost to the Sixers with Iverson. We've heard this series referenced a lot recently. Because of this, that was the only game in the postseason the Lakers lost. They lose game one. That's the game where Iverson steps over Tyronn Lue, that famous game. Lakers took care of business, beat them the next four, beat them pretty comfortably. And then there was the first ever Jordan title against the Lakers, early 90s, in 91, where Lakers won game one, close game, and then the Bulls just dominated and win the next four. So it has happened where a team will just stub its toe in game one and then wake up and win the next four. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what we see here with OKC. I've just been burned by Indiana too many times to sit here and predict it. So maybe my guess is Indiana probably gets another one of these, and something like they split these next two, and then OKC wins at home, and then maybe closes out in six. I still don't think it's going seven. I still don't think Indiana's going to win. And I wouldn't be shocked if OKC just puts their foot down, wins this game. You know, if OKC wins this game three here by 12, 15 points, nobody's going to really think about this series anymore going forward. People are just going to really count out Indy until further notice, fair or unfair. So I do think this game three is very important. You know, nothing else to maintain people's interests. It's interesting. I mean, it really doesn't matter when you think about it, what order they go if they both split. But if OKC wins this game three here, I think a lot of people are going to turn the page mentally and say, you know what, wake me up when it's a series again. Wake me up when Indy does something, because people will just assume this is OKC's for the taking. And it's not completely unfair. It's just not, it's not the normal feel of a 1-1. First of all, OKC was a minus 750 favorite going in. And OKC, despite being only 1-1, that's all that matters is the 1-1. You don't get anything for, you know, point differential or minutes ahead. OKC has dominated this series. You know, 97, 98% of the series. This is, look, if it weren't for a couple minutes at the end of game one here where OKC lost its mind and Indy banked in a couple threes and hit a bunch of threes, this is OKC 2-0, and I'm not even sure if we're talking finals here. It might just be, you know what, OKC is going to win the title. Not much to discuss. Just briefly mention it and move on. But not the case. We'll see what game three brings us. I think OKC probably wins. I'm not looking to lay 5.5 with how shaky OKC's been on the road. If you're looking for a prop, I was looking at this. Wiggins went 5 of 8 from three, for the OKC guard. 5 of 8 from three in only 20 minutes in game two. He's 24-1 to hit 5+ threes. In this game, he's +600 to hit 3+, +1300 to hit 4+. Some of these are DraftKings, some of these are at FanDuel, so shop around. But Wiggins to have another big game behind the arc could be one to look at. If you just want to sit down and, you know, you don't really want to take or lay the 5.5, you're indifferent on that, but you want to have a, you know, a 12 to 1 or a 22 to 1 type of ticket here on Wiggins. As I'm looking at it here, DraftKings has a +2350 on Wiggins at DraftKings State at 5+3. So if you're looking for just a long shot to have a pizza bet on, or just have something at long odds to sweat out, that might not be a way to go. Wiggins, yeah, 3+3s, 4+3s, 5+3s, maybe you just sprinkle a few bucks on each. You know, figure he's going to get the minutes, the usage, the shots after a good performance in game two. And he was really good in game two. Him, Caruso, SGM, that was a really thorough performance there in game two by OKC. Bottom line is I have a hard time seeing Indy win this series. And then it's just a matter of, you know, how many games. I went into this series being shocked, saying I'd be shocked if Indy wins. I'm still there, even though it's 1-1. And again, this does remind me a little bit of Denver, Miami a couple years ago where it was 1-1, but you never really felt like Miami was going to win it. And Denver controlled the games in Miami and closed it out in five. So that's the NBA. We'll see what Sammy P thinks about it. Quickly, College World Series. We are down to 8 teams. Murray State, the Cinderella. I watched a lot of this game on Monday. They beat Duke, a couple of long homers. I mean, I will say this about these college guys. They can swing the bats. They hit some long homers. And everybody, whether it's these mid-majors, the top schools, every pitcher you see throws 94+. I mean, none of these guys, you don't see an 8. Unless it's a breaking ball, you don't see an 8 in front of any of these pitches. There's no, you know, when I was growing up, you could pitch Division I, you throw 87, 88 with a good breaking ball, you were a Division I pitcher possibly. These guys are all in the mid to upper 90s. These guys all throw absolute smoke. So we will see Arizona, Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina minus 230. That's the first matchup. Oregon State minus $1.70 against Louisville. UCLA big minus 285 favorites against Murray State. And then Arkansas, LSU, the SEC matchup. These are the two top teams here, at least according to the odds. Arkansas, a tiny $1.25 favorite over LSU. So that doesn't start until Saturday, but that should be a lot of fun. Let's see. Do we get any games Friday? Friday, Saturday, these games start this weekend. So excited for that. Excited. We'll get Matt Grissom on, maybe talk about some of these here. Once you get to Omaha, I like these College World Series games too, because a lot of them, especially once you get past the weekend, these Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday games, a lot of them are during the day. They're in the afternoon. You know, nothing else on, nothing else to watch. Major League Baseball's done a terrible job of putting games on in the afternoon. It used to be, I don't even know if it used to be, but because we always complain about it. But once in a while, I would say, you know, you get a Monday game, Tuesday game. It feels like it's been less of that this year than ever. And every time you look at the schedule, you know, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, and Wednesday and Thursday they'll throw you a game. But these Mondays, Tuesdays, Fridays, it's very rare that you get a Major League Baseball game in the afternoon. So As we're recording this, Aaron Judge just hit one of the longest balls you've ever seen. I can't believe team spitched him. The ball he hit here on Tuesday night off of the Royals for a home run. I can't understand. I know there was a man on first, and you can't walk him every time up. Although I guess you could. I mean, would you rather give him one base or four bases and watch him jog around the bases for a home run every time? I mean, it's just crazy that these teams continue to pitch to Aaron Judge, but what an absolute bomb he hit, as we will do Major League Baseball a lot more here as the NBA winds down and finishes it up. And so Indy +5.5 here, that would be the pick. Begrudging, half-hearted pick. That's not a lot of enthusiasm. I just have a hard time with how bad OKC's been on the road, and this storybook team of Indiana. I have a hard time laying the 5.5 on the road, but we'll see if we get a good game. We'll see if we get a good series. We got college baseball coming this weekend, NBA Finals, NHL Final. We will discuss all of it with Sammy P. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, Should Have Bet More podcast. He is back. You can catch him on BetSweats, BetMGM, the Fox Sports Bear Bets podcast. It is the great Sammy P. Discuss a little bit of everything, man. It's that time of the year where you can go any direction. Sammy, what's going on, man? How's everything?
North Carolina, not fun on Sunday, college baseball. I know you had a good pop on Georgia. It's a routine ground ball. And the inning before, they were just talking about how sure-handed the second baseman is. It always happens this way. It's a double play ball to second base, runner at first. They turn this double play 9 times out of 10. Kid muffs it. Everybody's safe. Arizona scores 3 runs, wins 4-3, crushing my last future on Carolina 25-1. I guess that's college baseball, but it doesn't make it any easier to swallow.
It's tough. It's certainly tough, and we are down to eight teams. I don't know if you saw this. We'll kind of go over a little everything. A lot of things to discuss here. But since you brought it up, if you had no bets in pocket, anything that you think is worth jumping in here on College World Series? Obviously, the story of the tournament is Murray State, and they beat Duke. They advance. They're at the 35-40-1 range. The big boys up top, LSU and Arkansas. A little less than 3-1. Anything you think is worth a bet, or is this going to be one of the heavy favorites?
It's probably one of the top two. I don't say that with any confidence. I mean, I had Florida and North Carolina, so going to the top of the board is not exactly the boldest take. I had a guy on Chicken Dinner, Matt Grissom, who I'm sure you know from NCAA Insiders, and he's a big Arkansas guy. He's an Arkansas homer, which he'd be the first to admit. And he said before the tournament on the show, this is their year. The problem is, he said that last year on my show. So I'm like, all right. So I'm handicapping the handicapper, and that's not entirely fair to him. I mean, Arkansas is now the odds-on favorite. Well, not the odds-on favorite, but they're +195.
Yes.
And he told me that this was the year that the hitting would match the pitching. And I did it last year. So I just didn't. I didn't buy. And he said, look, you could add 9-1 and just see what happens. I was so jaded from last year, which isn't his fault, it's my fault. And here they are, cream of the crop, team to beat. It feels like an SEC year. It always feels like that. So I guess at this point I would go Arkansas, but I'm not gonna bet it at 2-1.
Yeah, and going through these odds, Arkansas is 2-1, LSU +230, at least one book I'm looking at. Oregon State +650, Arizona 14-1. There are a bunch of new teams here, which is fun. Louisville 16-1, UCLA +850. I don't know why these aren't in order. Coastal +650, then Murray State 35-1. So if I give you a $100 free roll somewhere, where would you go with it?
Maybe Oregon State. I've always been a fan of their program because of the pitching and the defense. And then, with my luck, this last week they'll lose 1-0 in their next game, and that'll be it. So I'm not going a little deeper. I'm not going Arizona, Louisville. I see Murray State 50-1 at DraftKings. So they're rolling out the red carpet for you if you want to come down and bet the Racers there, 50-1. I don't know. I mean, is there a team? Like, if we were going to draw a line under the top four teams, and it's UCLA, Zona, Louisville, Murray State, who would you take?
I'd have to look, honestly. Wait, say that one more time. If I
So
can't take. Go ahead.
Well, you like let's take Arkansas, LSU, Coastal, and Oregon State out of it. Those are the
Okay.
four shortest odds. I answered Oregon State, but I mean, I'm inclined to think if you're going to give me 100, I'll take a shot.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing UCLA, but I don't know anything about Louisville, and I know that Murray State eventually is going to turn into a pumpkin, right?
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. I don't know. Arizona, from what I watched, was pretty good. One takeaway from this tournament, man. Geez, all of these kids, it doesn't matter what school, what team, bullpen, middle. I mean, they're all throwing 95, 96 plus. It's incredible. I don't know what the future of baseball looks like if every kid's basically just going to throw 100 miles an hour. I don't know how you hit it, but every kid now is a hard throw. It's incredible.
Yeah, I got a tweet that you'll probably like. I shouldn't say that, but I know you know me. North Carolina had that freshman with the glasses on the mound when the game got tight. So somebody sent me a DM that said, "Way to blow the game, nerd." It's that freshman who actually throws pretty hard. He's I think he's number 40. Don't remember his name, but he's got the big glasses and he's got the long hair. And yeah, I had a Bear Bets listener say, "Way to go, nerd. Way to
I like
blow it."
that. I
Yeah,
do.
it's very funny. I mean, who doesn't love a good nerd once a week on social? The Georgia bet was good too. It just the reality is we're trusting 19, 20, 21-year-old pitchers in pressure, and some of them rise to the challenge, some of them don't. It's something very similar to the days where we used to bet Little League. And I remember I had so much money on the Jackie Robinson team from Chicago. This is 2014. I had bet them to win the US and win the whole thing. And I'm screaming. I'm at the radio station during a break, screaming at the television because the 12-year-old center fielder dropped the fly ball and 3 runs scored. And my producer goes, "Sam, they're 12." And that's a moment where you kind of take a step back and think, "Oh, he's kind of right. Like, what am I doing with my life at this point?"
That was the Monet Davis year, right?
I don't know. All of my wires get crossed on
I
years,
think
but it
it
was the
was.
year that so Jackie Robinson West, long story short, is a team from the South Side, like 108th and like Ashland, give or take. And they were getting all these good players who lived in the suburbs and supposing or surrounding cities, but they had relatives who lived in the district. So the team was super like illegal. Like three of their four best players were not from the district. And then that got caught afterwards. So that's the legend of the Jackie Robinson team from 2014. I'm sure the three people listening from that area are very, very excited. But, yeah, that team was very good. They just I think Ed Howard was the shortstop. He's a Cubby prospect, or was. Yeah, Little League baseball, gotta love it.
Speaking of that area, if you're going to be betting in that area, you are now going to be paying a 50-cent tax for every bet at FanDuel. Your takeaway here is this a Is this sustainable? Is this as bad as it sounds? What's your takeaway here, this deal by FanDuel?
I'm worried about the domino effect. I think it's impossible to ignore what could happen not only at other books in that state, but let's say this tax goes into play, if it does, and by all accounts it will, when New York sees it and says, "Well, Illinois is doing it," and then it works in Illinois and New York, and then Pennsylvania says, "Well, why don't we do it?" And then there's that, snowball effect where multiple books in multiple states are doing it, and now you're paying 50 cents to a dollar per bet. It's going to crush the small bettors who are betting $5 and $10. If you're a $5 bettor, you're paying what, 10% of your bet now on the tax, 50 cents. I mean, that's incredulous. And then I saw the comment from the CEO of Flutter, Peter Jackson, who said, "Yeah, this will likely motivate some Illinois-based customers to bet with unregulated operators." No, well, no shit. Like they're gonna do it because of you. And it's not just the lower waging customer. Like, I know you bet a lot of props. I mean, during a baseball game or a baseball day on a Tuesday, how many prop bets do you think you make? 10, 20?
Yeah, not quite 20, but yeah, and anywhere between 5 and 10 easily for sure.
Okay, so let's say it's 10. So you're not paying $5 a day times 30 days a month, it's $150. You're not gonna light that on fire, are you? So I think it's silly to think that it only affects the small bettors, the dollar bettors and the $5 bettors. It'll affect the wise guys too, because guys like you are not going to give FanDuel an extra 150 just to bet there. I don't want to speak for you, but it's not just going to affect the smaller customer. The bigger customer, the sharper customer, is not going to give away any edge. So it's wild to think that this is actually a good idea from somebody at FanDuel, and they're going to lose some business. But it's not just from the small players. I think it's going to affect them across the board.
Do you think most bettors care about this, or do they just say, you know what, it's 50 cents, I want to put in my parlay, so I'm going to put in my parlay?
It's hard to say. A lot of people that I talk to are one trick ponies in the sense that they only have DraftKings or FanDuel or BetMGM. Like, a lot of people don't shop around. They don't get the best number. But a 50-cent tax, if you're making 20 bets a day, like a lot of people are, that's $10 a day, man. Extrapolate that out over 30 days, you're going to give the book $300. I wouldn't, but I don't know. I guess it's a fair question because I don't know how the average bettor thinks about tax and penalty, and because that's what it is. They call it a tax. It's a penalty in my mind. You're getting penalized to play at FanDuel now if you live in Illinois. And if you're betting, I got buddies that'll make 10 parlays a day. That's $5 a day times 30 days. It's a lot of money for somebody betting $5 a bet.
Yep, no question about it. Busy sports weekend coming up. U.S. Open, NBA Finals, NHL. We'll go in order here. U.S. Open. Any bets? Any thoughts?
Yeah, Sherman told me to bet DeChambeau a while ago. I have him 8-1, and I was thinking about adding some Straka from somebody else. I don't handicap a lot of golf. You know me. I'm handicapping other guys, and people send me bets like they send you bets. I'm hearing Lowry and Straka for some deeper shots. And then somebody told me to bet Harris English, and then I saw that he's moved from 150-1 to like 80-1. So, probably not a guy that I'm going to bet. It's funny though, I don't find myself betting Scotty or Rory or Rom. Even though it does feel like every time we have a major tournament, it's somebody near the top in the mix on Sunday. I'm hoping it's DeChambeau. I got 8-1 on him. I saw the round or the total tournament over under was 278.5. I'd probably play the under on that. That's a round average of about 69.5. I think there's a lot of talk about, oh, it's going to be a tough sled and guys are going to shoot two over and win. When everybody says that, I tend to go the other way. But yeah, DeChambeau is the only bet I have for now. I might add some Oberg, 25-1, but I'd be lying if I said I was completely locked in on the open. I'm taking what other people give me and firing them in. I got DeChambeau, and probably Ed Oberg, and then either Lowry or Straka, I guess, at this point.
NHL Florida with a commanding, not commanding, but a pretty thorough victory here in game three. They're up 2 games to 1. I think most people think this is a long series, six, if not seven. Do you still feel that way, or can Florida win game number four here and then, figure out a way to close out Edmonton in less than six or seven?
It's tough to react to one game. Two of the three have been extremely tight, could have gone either way, and then the third one's a blowout. I hate to react to what I just saw, but I think Florida having that last change at home is a big deal. And Paul Maurice did an excellent job of throwing his best checkers and his best defensemen against McDavid. McDavid doesn't have a goal yet in this series, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming. But that second change in hockey, I used to cover Quenneville in Chicago, and he used to love being at home because he could take, the Dave Boland line or the Marcus Kruger line and throw them against whoever, Pavel Datsyuk or whatever great centerman the Blackhawks were facing in those days, guys on the Kings, guys on the Red Wings, Stamkos's line in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2015. So I think that was very obvious to me that McDavid was going up against some really tough challenges offensively, because Florida had their best defensive players on the ice. So I do think Florida is probably going to win game four, but Edmonton likely wins game five. So we go back to Florida for six. And at that point, you see what happens. I am kicking myself though, because Bear told us about Marchand, and I looked at it.
I know.
I had my thumb on it. It was 50-1, dude.
I know.
50-1, and now I see him at 350 and 4-1, and it's because you knew that he was gonna have an impact on this final. I didn't think he was gonna have this much of an impact, but then at the end of the day, Sam Bennett's got what, 14 goals, so he's now favored to win the Conn Smythe. But Marchand, Bear told us in the thread 50-1, and I did nothing with it. I thought about it. I popped it in. I stared at it. I stared at it again and didn't do it.
And it's not like Bear is throwing out 50. It's not like Bear throws these out every day or every week. So, man, that's a missed opportunity. And people are on Bennett too at longer prices. Florida was a team that I heard a lot of people say this. If they're going to win, it could really be anybody. So take a shot at some longer numbers. I was thinking more Verhage like a round or two ago. But man, that 50-1 would certainly look nice in the account now.
Oh, they were all 20-1. Bennett, Barkov, Verhage, Kachuk. They were all around 20. And then Marchand was 50. So obviously, not everybody can drop down. Bennett's 2-1 or shorter. Barkov's around 30. Verhage, 75. Kachuk, 100. We had the right idea. I had Verhage too. I had Verhage at like 25. Just picked the wrong guy. Right idea, wrong execution. Sam Bennett has been unbelievable in this postseason. 14 goals already. I know McDavid's got more points, but 14 goals is 14 goals. And now Bobrovsky is on line four. So if he has a shutout in game four, what do those odds do? And then there's McDavid, 5-2, if you're holding out hope that the Oil can win, which they certainly could. I'm kicking myself about the Marchand thing, man. I really am.
Brutal. Anyone worth a bet right now? If you had nothing, is there anyone worth jumping in on, or is it kind of too late on everyone?
I don't know. I don't think so, because we could, I could say Draisaitl. The obvious answer would be Draisaitl at 12-1 if he just dominates and they win three more games. But what if we have a situation like last year where the Oil win the cup and then they give Bennett the Conn Smythe? Like last year the Panthers win the cup, McDavid wins the Conn Smythe. I think it's going to be one of those top three guys, probably top two, Bennett or McDavid. So no, I wouldn't burn any money. I feel like it's anybody at 10-1 or higher just feels like you're burning it, which I mean, look, I'm never against a good long shot, but it does feel like it's pretty solidified between Bennett and McDavid. And look, if Marchand wins, I'd be happy for the Bear, but the books are telling you right now it's either Bennett or McDavid.
How about the NBA here? It feels like OKC got back on track. I mean, I said the other day, there's two ways to look at it. You could say OKC dominating 98% of this series and they're in firm control. Or you could say, you know what, Indiana, they're the lower seed. They're the underdog and they got a split. It's all you can ask for. Now they go home. Whether it happens in five or six, I still don't think it's going seven. I feel like one way or another, OKC is holding up this trophy here in the next week or 10 days or so. Any bets to be made on the NBA Finals?
I like Halliburton's over in game number three on points. Just feel like he's going to get that talk from Carlisle. And, results are one thing, but to me, it's about the shot attempts and the opportunities. And I mean, I know you watched the Knicks series where he was very aggressive in terms of getting a shot up. He hasn't really been that guy in this series. I mean, he had what, 4 points or 5 points going into the fourth quarter in game two, and then he goes off in a game that's already decided. But go back and look at that Knicks series. He took 23 shots, 23, 17, 16. His numbers are nowhere near that, at least on the high side against the Thunder. Now we can give the Thunder their flowers for the defense and maybe chasing the ball out of his hands. But if I'm Rick Carlisle, I'm telling Tyrese, I need 20 shots. I need you to get to the free throw line. He hasn't taken a free throw yet in this series. So his point prop has come down. Heading into game one, it was like 19 and a half. Now it's 17 and a half. I think that's a decent play on the over, buying the dip there. And I do think the Pacers are going to cover one of the next two games at home. Just not sure if it's three or four. So I've only done one thing, and that's Tyrese over on points, 17 and a half. If you bet his over on points or PRA in the first two games, you're 0-4. So the under's been cleaning up. I think those numbers are coming a little bit too low now, and he should play better at home.
Last one, any baseball you think is worth jumping in on right now in terms of a future, an award, anything?
Well, I was gobbling up Brave stock, and then they lost 7 or 8 in a row, so I might not be the might not be the guy to ask.
All by a run, too. All heartbreaking. 6-run leads in the ninth. I mean, they've invented ways to lose here this last week or so.
I was looking at Braves.com this morning, and it was essentially saying, "Time to get hot after Sale delivered us our first win in a week or whatever." I dude, they're so talented. Their lineup is so deep. They'll hit Drake Baldwin 8th or 9th, and he hits 5th on a good team. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, they can't possibly be this bad. And the price now, I mean, look, there's a book out there giving you 45-1. Let me check Prop Shop real quick because there's a big range on the Braves. I'm not down on the Braves. Well, shouldn't say I'm not down. I'm not quitting on the Braves. There's a 45, a 30, a 25, a 25, a 22. Don't bet the 22. I don't think that's the worst idea, Will, to hit a little bit at 45-1, just hoping that they can make a wild card spot and get hot. I'm not quitting on my guys yet.
Yeah, and I had the same thought process, but it just gets to a point where it's like, man, 10 under, 9 under. We're in June. I just, man, 45-1. I was hoping that would drift out to like 60, 70. I know these books aren't dumb and the Braves are the Braves and they're as talented as they are, but I was just thinking where they are in the standings this late into the season. Not that the time is running out, but it's also not the middle of April. I was just hoping for a little more, but your point is well taken. If they get in, they're about as live as anyone.
They are 9 games under 500 as we tape this, 28-37, and they're 9 games out of the wild card. To me, it's not about the deficit. It's about the teams you got to leave.
Yep.
So they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams out right now. I'm not scared of Washington, Arizona, Cincinnati per se, but the Cardinals and Brewers have done their jobs, and the Giants and Padres are solid. So. It's an uphill battle for sure, but to your point, they were in a very similar spot in 2021, and the prices were 60-1, 70-1. So I think the books have sort of not taxed you on the Braves, but they're not going to give you that 70 until they feel very confident that they're dead in the weeds.
Yeah, and even 2022, they were a good 7, 8 games in like mid-August out against the Mets in terms of the division, and they came back and they won that division. So they've done it before, but man, they have certainly dug themselves a hole for sure.
The lineup they just can't hit. But you have a bunch of guys who are usually good hitters. It's maddening that they're all having a weird year at the same time. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, look, if you're a $100 bettor, I would bet $50 on the Braves at 45-1. See what happens, but knowing full well you're probably gonna lose.
Sammy, you're the best, man. Always appreciate you coming on. Let everyone know where we can find you.
At SP Shoot, Bear Bets, Bet Sweats. I think that's it. I think that's all I do.
Ah, man.
What are you writing this week? Are you writing about Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese again?
That's a good question. I gotta check the email. See, I know Aaron Rodgers is a hot button issue signing with the Steelers. I know people want to read some Aaron Rodgers content. So maybe that, maybe a future. We'll see what direction I go here.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks. All right. Thank you to Sammy P. We'll be back Friday. A lot ahead here. US Open, college baseball, NBA, NHL. We've got the baseball every day. So still a fun time of the year. And we have not hit the dead part of the summer yet. And even the dead part of the summer, I still kind of like it. We got baseball, football not that far away. So thanks to Sammy P. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, Apple, Spotify, those help. Goldboys.com is where you check out the Discord. Be back Friday. See you then.